I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. I think at the end of this service, we're going to be saying, oh, look what the Lord has done. Not us, with his resources. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord. And I believe not only just rejoicing over this, but I believe there's some people that can be healed. And we can say, he healed my body. Understand, when you start giving into the kingdom and investing into the kingdom, you begin unlocking things in the Holy Ghost. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. I haven't even read my text yet. We better get going. Hallelujah. They're going to be done before I get started. John 4:35. It says, do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, hear this, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest. It means the harvest is ready. It's ready. And then Matthew 9:37-38, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, he's saying, church, he said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind getting a few more laborers in here to help us go get the harvest in this city. You're a laborer, but we could use some more. Amen?
Yeah.
So for a few moments, I want to speak just on this. Investing in the harvest. Yeah. Investing in the harvest. Let's give God praise one more time while you're seated this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Over the past 9 weeks, we have looked into the past to see great sacrifices that have been made by former pastors and leaders and congregations to get us to where we are today as a church. For 108 years, there has been a church in this city proclaiming the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We rejoiced over the stories and the testimonies of those who came before us. Clear back to our founding pastor, Homer White, a young man with a passion for souls. He invested time, talent, and treasure into what we now call our church. Throughout the years, the great congregations of this church, they followed suit with what their pastors were doing by investing in a building on Richland Avenue. And they had church there for many years, and then they couldn't fit there anymore, so the congregation came together once again to invest into the kingdom to erect this beautiful building that we are worshiping in today.
Amen.
And in the last 7 years, I have watched this congregation invest time and talent into the kingdom work to reach out to the souls of this community and beyond this community in this region. Because of that, every Thursday night, I don't know if you know this, but every Thursday night, there is a Bible study that is going on in Middleport, and souls are being reached in Middleport every Thursday night. That's being the church. Get out of the walls. Go reach a soul. You never hesitate to get behind or get beyond these four walls to love in our community, and I say thank you for that. And just as generations before us, they saw a need to grow and to invest, starting today, we're investing into the kingdom of God to build a new building like those who have come before us by investing our treasure. But the one thing that every generation has in common, starting from Homer White until today, sitting in this room, was the one driving force behind everything that's ever been done in this city through this church is the harvest of souls that is in the field. It is what took Homer White to stay here and start preaching to this community in a small tent. It was in him a passion for the harvest of souls in a city. And today I tell you, church, lift up your eyes unto the field, for they are white and ready for harvest. This is our hour. This is our hour. Amen. Amen. Do we have a number? We're at $21,727.25. Come on. So the Promise campaign is accepting the call and claiming the promise. So what is the call for the church? The call for the church is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples went up into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they had saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore. He said, go. He didn't say, here, I've given you something great. Just stay right here and dwell on it by yourself. But he said, go. Do something with it. Go ye and teach all nations. He didn't say just keep it to one nation, but he said, go and I want you to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And we understand that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost today is Jesus Christ. That is his name. He said, go and baptize them in my name. He said, go into the end of the world and tell them. And then we know in Acts 2, 38 and 39, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's still calling today. Why? Because the harvest is still white and ready. The call didn't stop 1,000 years ago. It didn't stop 500 years ago, but the promise, the calling that he gave to them is still for this church today. He is calling us to get out of the four walls and go preach the gospel and win souls, because the harvest is ready for us today. For years, people have tried to pinpoint the exact purpose of the church. If you Google search the question, you will find multiple answers. From the purpose of the church is to worship God. The purpose of the church is to feed the hungry, or to put on great programs, or to grow, or to support their cities, or to help poor and the needy. It is impossible to truly define success without truly defining purpose. We have to have a purpose to do something. In men's class, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about your purpose. And this statement is so true. It is hard to define success without clearly defining purpose. You may refer to something as success, but if it is not aligned with your purpose, it is not a success. This is a problem as we repeatedly label things as a success or failure that have little or anything to do with our purpose. We think our purpose is to increase the size of church membership or to grow the church. That's not a bad thing to do, but this is not our purpose. This is not the call according to the scripture. Jesus said, I will build my church. This is his church. He said, I will build my church. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 3 and 7, neither who plants is anything, nor he who waters is anything. He's basically saying that we are nothing, which we are nothing. Amen. It is a privilege and an honor to serve in the kingdom of God. Amen. We are beyond privileged. We don't deserve this. And Paul was saying that neither who plants is anything, nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. That's the one, because this is his church. It's not my church, but this is his church. Amen. If you don't build or grow the church, then what's our purpose? What's our call? What is our purpose in this city? I'm here to bring you the simple answer this morning. There's a lost world out there, and we as a church have a call that has been placed upon us, every one of us in this room, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this city and in this region. We are called to be laborers who invest into God's fields. That is our call. That is our purpose this morning. We see that the parable of the hidden treasure, it says in Matthew 13, 44, it says, and again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is sharing this parable. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found it. He found the treasure and he hid it. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys the whole field. See, when you find something that you know, this is priceless, I gotta have this, then you're willing to go and say, I'm gonna invest in that field so I can have everything that it has. I love how the Amplified Version says this. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a very precious treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field, securing the treasure for himself. You understand that the Lord placed this church here for the souls of this city. They're a treasure. You're a treasure unto him. They're a treasure unto us. Why? Because they're a soul who's going to spend eternity somewhere. And we've got the truth, the message, the saving message of who God is. We've got to share it. Amen? Amen. Where are we at? We're not done. We're not done. So we're not done, but we're at $61,767.25. You can stand and give God some praise for that. What did I tell you? Woo! Come on, give God praise for it. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. We're not done yet. I'm about halfway through my message, so slow down. I maybe have to slow down a little bit. So we accepted the call. We understand what the call is now. The call is to go out into the harvest field, invest in the harvest, go out and reach souls. Now, God says, now that you have understanding of your purpose, now it's time to claim the promise. For I have a promise for this church. So what is the promise? The promise is simply the harvest. What else is it? It's not about singing the right song or having comfortable chairs, the right lights. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. You say, well, about tithing, yes, that's biblical. Giving, it's biblical. Those things are biblical. Yes, I'm about those things. But I'm just going to tell you this. I love being your pastor. I love being your pastor. I love this church. With everything within me, I love this church. But the day that you tell me, we don't really want to worry about the harvest, Pastor. We just want to worry about ourselves and just worry about what's going on in here. I'm not your guy. Because I'm about harvest. I'm about souls. That's the promise. That is the promise for this church, is the harvest. We've got to be in the soul-saving business. We got to be in the soul-reaching business. But that's what it's about. That's why he came. That's why he came, not for lights, they're good, not for carpet, not for comfort, but he came for souls. And that's what we got to be about. That's why we call it our harvest field. That's why there's a sign right there when you walk out every Sunday, every Wednesday, it says you can change a life this week. What's that mean? That means you're stepping out into your harvest field. When you leave these doors, you are stepping into your harvest field, not pastor's harvest field, not Sister B's harvest field. It's not just the ministerial team's harvest field. Every single one of you, you are a missionary that has been called into your harvest field. Go reap the harvest. It's white and ready to be harvested. We can't wait any longer. God has placed us here for a purpose. Yes. Remember, what we are doing is not about a building. It's not about resources, but it is about harvest.
Yes.
Harvest. Where are we at? All right. $61,880.25. All right. God has placed us here on purpose. And when we invest in the harvest, we're investing in laborers.
Yeah.
Jesus said that the problem is not the harvest. There's not a problem with the promise. Look at your neighbor and say, there's not a problem with the promise. But Jesus said, pray for more laborers.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 years, you see, there has been a problem in our nation since we faced that lovely pandemic that we went through. I'm not sure if you noticed it or not, but there is a laborer shortage in our country.
Yeah.
I went to Tim Hortons a couple weeks ago, and I like to go inside when I'm getting some donuts for the boys, maybe. I like to go in and hand pick what donuts I'm picking. I like to look at them. And I walked up to the door and I pulled on it. It was locked and it was middle of the day. People were in the drive-thru and I thought, what in the world's going on? And I stepped back and looked at the door and the sign said, inside is closed due to a shortage in our staff. Wow. Companies have closed their doors due to a lack of laborers in our country. Because no one wants to work for anything anymore.
Well.
You know it's true. Amen. When we were at General Conference, came out of this church service and we had a larger party that showed up to a restaurant and we wanted to go eat with some friends and get some food after church because we're Pentecostal and that's what we do. Have a great move of God and go get some food. I mean, what else? I mean, does it get any better than that? Come on, everything's better with some food. It was a little late because we had some great church and we got out a little late. But the first restaurant we went to, I remember we walked up expecting to get some food at this restaurant that in the past was always open until midnight, if not later. But when we walked up to the door, we grabbed it and pulled and it was locked. And they closed early simply because they did not have enough laborers to stay open and function as a restaurant. So we had no other choice but to go find another restaurant. But when we arrived at the restaurant, the greeter told us that they were closing early because they had a shortage in their staff. I told her that it was a larger crowd coming and I promised that we would take good care of her and we would tip her very well if she would let us come in and have a seat. But she struggled with accepting the crowd because there was a labor shortage. She told us, if you're going to do this, then you have to order within the next 10 minutes. I don't know about you, but I like to take my time going over the menu. She said, you got 10 minutes and our computer shut off. We were calling our friends and saying, what do you want? They're going to stop. Okay, you've got like 3 minutes. You got to tell us what you want. What's the menu? We'll take a picture and send it to you. Like, what do you want? We were in a panic. And I remember the last person had 30 seconds left. And she said, hurry, the computer's going to shut off. Because she had one person to work. One person. I'll be honest, it wasn't the experience that we were wanting. It wasn't the service that we were expecting from a once thriving restaurant. They were struggling to handle the crowds of people coming. They were losing business left and right. They opened up in that city simply to serve the people of that city. But they could not fulfill their purpose in that city anymore due to a lack of laborers and labor shortage. Hear me. They had the building. They had the food. They had the resources. They had the chairs. They had the silverware. They had the lights. They had the plates. They even had the cook. But the problem wasn't the building, the food, the cook, the plates, the chairs, or tables. We were hungry and they had the food, but they couldn't serve us like they could have at once because there was a labor shortage. They had the resources, but they were lacking in laborers to do what they had, to serve us with what they had. The hungry couldn't be fed because there is a labor shortage. The broken can't be mended anymore in our cities because there is a labor shortage. The spiritually malnourished can't be nursed back to health because there is a labor shortage. God forbid that the world would come to the doors of the church and be told, we can't do for you what you need like we used to do. We can't help you like we did one time. God forbid that they would come and be told, I'm sorry, we don't have enough laborers to teach you a Bible study. I'm sorry, we don't have enough people to pray for you. I'm sorry, there's nobody willing to come in and sacrifice time and put forth effort. No, the issue. The issue is not with the fields. The issue is not with the field because it is white and ready for harvest. The issue is not with the Lord of the harvest. He is ready. He is ready. He is ready. He is saying, church, they're ready. Are you ready? That's not the problem. But the problem is with the laborers. It's a shortage in the laborers. You look around right now and you see empty chairs. You know what those empty chairs represent? Laborers. Yeah. Laborers. Look next to you if you got an empty chair. That's a spot for a laborer. That's a spot right now. That's a spot that somebody right now that's waking up this morning with a hangover. You say, well, Pastor, they're out drinking. Oh, yes, but they would be a great laborer if they want to work, if they want to get in the field. Give me whoever. I don't care, God. Give me your broken. God, give me the ones thrown to the curb. Give me whatever you got. God, I just want laborers. Laborers. It's about laborers. It's not about the field. The field's good. The field's ready. God said, I've got it waiting on you. I've got everything you need. The harvest is ready. He said, listen, all you got to do is just get laborers that can take care of what's coming. So what we're doing, we are doing today, we are over the next 36 months is not about a building. It's not about a building. I know I've stressed this so much. You're like, Pastor, why are we building the building if it's not about the building? Because it's what the building's going to house. It's what it's going to hold. It's about the lives that are going to be changed there. But it's not just about a building. We have a nice one. It's a beautiful building. Everyone that comes in here said, man, my goodness, this is beautiful. And I agree, it's a beautiful building and it has served its purpose. But I'm telling you right now, it cannot contain what God has for this church. I wish somebody gets some faith with me this morning and say, I agree with you, Pastor, that it cannot hold the amount of laborers that are coming. Because there's a lot of broken people out there. And I'm telling you, for us to be able to handle what is coming, we need more laborers. Those doors won't go shut. We won't lock those doors up because of lack of laborers. But what we're going to do is pray for more laborers. Invest in the harvest for more laborers. Because God's got them ready for us. They're ready. It's not about chairs and lights. It's beautiful. I'm so thankful for it. They're a little hot. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sweating like crazy. But you know what? I don't care. I'll put up with that. I'm fine. But it's not about that. I'm thankful we have a sound system. I'm thankful. If not, my voice would be really gone. I'm thankful we have air-conditioned vents on the platform that I can stand over when it's really hot up here. I'm thankful for those things. But if you strip all this away, guess what? The harvest is still white and ready. It's not about this. It's about the harvest. And it will always be about the harvest. Until the trumpet sounds, it'll be about the harvest. It's about the harvest. It's not even about that new fellowship hall that's going to be amazing to have. It's going to be awesome. I've got plans already of what we're going to do. It's going to be good, all you young men. We'll play basketball in there, even when it's snowing outside. That's good. But you know what I would love to see? I would love to see that when you come and play basketball, that you might invite a friend from school that doesn't know anything about God. And that right there in the middle of a fellowship hall, they can receive the Holy Ghost. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Because the harvest is white and ready. Get into the fields. But understand that when we invest in the harvest, we are in return investing in laborers.
Yeah.
We're investing in laborers. Let's stand. You see, we're investing our treasure where the heartbeat of this church is. It's easy to invest something when you love it. It is easy to invest into something when you love it. It's easy to invest in something when you know there's going to be a return on your investment.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in this room would say, you know what? This person, this company over here has the worst record for returns on investment. I think I'll go with them. No. No, but you look around and you say, who has the greatest track record? Who has the greatest track record on getting a return on the investment? Listen, I'm not just talking about treasure. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about our talent. I'm talking about our treasure. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about who we are, our life. That when we invest our life into kingdom things, God says you invest your life in the harvest, I promise you the return on the harvest is going to be your family you've been seeking. It's going to be that coworker you've been trying to get to come. That's what your return is going to be. And you might not see it all right here on this side of heaven, but when you get over there, we're all going to rejoice together because the harvest was not neglected. But I pray that when this church, when the trumpet sounds, I pray. Have you ever seen a good farmer that comes out, or somebody working in the garden, when they come in, if it's somebody that's really working, they're going to come in with some dirty hands and some dirty clothes. They've been down on their knees getting some weeds out. I hope and pray that we're a church when the trumpet sounds that we're going to be covered in the field. It's going to be all over us because we've been out digging out souls. We've been out. Our knees are going to be all dirty. We're going to have it all over us. We might smell like cigarette smoke. We might smell like alcohol. We might be dealing with all kinds of things. When people come in here broken, we're going to be covered in brokenness and sadness. But guess what? When you get in the harvest field and you begin to work and labor, God says your return is going to be greater Amen. Than what you've put in. Amen. A church with a heart for souls never hesitates to invest in the harvest, because when the laborers start coming, God says now I can increase your harvest even more. Now I will increase your land even more.
Yeah.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm thankful this morning to pastor a church that has a heart for the harvest, and that is willing to invest into the harvest field, and knowing that when you invest into the harvest, when you invest in the future of this church, when you invest in the harvest field, that in return you are investing in the laborers that's going to work right next to you in the future of this church, winning people that you would never reach, winning people that you would never come in contact with. That's why we need more laborers in this final hour, because the greatest harvest is now.
Amen.
It's now. The greatest harvest is now. It is time. It is time. Before we announce this last number, I want us to lift our hands right now. And I want you to pray, God, and I pray, God, give me a heart for harvest. God, give me a heart for investment, Lord, into the harvest. God, I pray over the next 36 months, God, that you will, Lord, God, put it deep within my heart. God, draw me closer into a place I haven't been before, Lord. God, I pray, God, put a love and a passion and desire for the harvest, God. God, don't let me hesitate moving forward, Lord, to invest more, God, into the harvest, into your kingdom, God, because there's souls hanging in the balance, Lord, right now. God, and I know if I invest into the harvest, you will send laborers that will help us, Lord, God, to reach this city and beyond, in this region and the cities around us, Lord, God, to Middleport, God, to MacArthur, Lord, to Pomeroy, Lord, to Coolville, Lord, God, no matter what it is you send us, God, I pray, God, the laborers will never be a shortage in this church, because we will always be willing to invest into the harvest. Into the harvest. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Treasure in the harvest. There are resources in the harvest. There are lost souls in the harvest.
Oh, we respond to that word this morning as you walk to an altar. I want everybody in here who can make it. Come on, we receive that word, respond to that word from the Lord. Come on, if you love souls, if you love the harvest. He's not asking us to save them, only he can save them. But he's saying, if you will, if you'll just love them to me, bring them to me. Come on, everything you need is in the harvest. Everything you need is in the field. Come on, come on, there's resources in the harvest that God has for this church. It is in the harvest field. We've got to just get out there and love on them and bring them into his presence. Come on, oh, invest in the harvest. Oh, we must invest in the harvest. Come on, let there be a cry come out of you right now for the lost of this city. Come on, let there be a cry come out. Come on, from deep down within you. Come on, cry out for your lost loved ones. Come on, cry out right now for those who are broken and weary this morning. Come on, cry out for that couple this morning that doesn't know if their marriage is going to work. And they don't know, they don't have any hope left. But God is saying, I need laborers. I need laborers to go out into the field because it's wide and ready for harvest. Come on, God's calling us into the field this morning. Orandaya tololosia. Oh God. Oh. Come on, let's not rush through this. Let's not rush through this. Come on, God's ministering right now in these altars. God is ministering to your heart. God is pouring out right now burden and passion for souls like never before. Come on, there's going to be a love for the harvest in this church like never before when we leave today. You're going to look at people different. You're going to look at the waitress or the waiter at the restaurant different. You're going to see them. They might be struggling. They might be struggling because there might not be a lot of laborers at their job. But understand, what you're looking at is a laborer for the kingdom. When you reach them and you talk to them and you love on them, they're hurting and broken and they don't know where to go. But God is saying, I need laborers to get into the field. I need laborers to get into the field. Oh, Arataya. Oh, invest in the kingdom. Invest in the field. Invest in the harvest. Oh, Arandia Tololosi. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Ariataya. Oh, Jesus. 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 God, we need you, Lord. God, I need you, Lord. Oh, Ariataya Tololosi. Hallelujah. I want you to pray right now with me one more time. I want you to pray this prayer. God, baptize me with a passion and a desire for the harvest. For the harvest. Come on, maybe you've lost
the vision for it. Maybe you've been distracted, but ask God to renew it and baptize you right now with the love and passion for the harvest, for your co-workers, for those who go to school with you. Come on, those that sit next to you. Come on, your family members that are lost and don't know who he is. Come on, I want you to lift your voice right now and pray. Jesus, baptize me, God, with the love for the harvest. God, I pray within me, Lord. God, there will never be a hesitation, God. God, don't let it be said of me that I don't have time, God, for the harvest, Lord. But I pray, God, if you would use me, God, like never before, Lord. God, with the baptize me, Lord, with that passion, that desire, Lord, that love, God, for the harvest, Lord. I pray it right now. God, in this place, everyone in this room, God, baptize this church, Lord. God, with a love for the harvest. A love for the harvest, Jesus. God, God, for you love them, let us love them also. God, I don't care, Lord, what they look like. I don't care what their background is. God, I don't care how broken they are. God, I don't care where they're coming from, Lord. I don't care what language they speak, God. It doesn't matter, Lord. They need you. Let us love them like never before, God, and let us draw them to you so you, God, can do what only you can do within them. Let us be that church. Let us be consumed, consumed with the harvest, Lord. A passion for the harvest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has spoken clearly this morning, this church. You understand that everything we need, everything, you look around, you say, you know, I could look around as a pastor and I could say, you know, there's different areas that I could use more people to serve in. Guess what? God says, everything you need is in the harvest. God, I need more Bible study teachers. Get in the harvest. Well, God, Lord, we could really use somebody else that give Brother Jack a break on driving the van. We need somebody else that could drive because he's doing all the driving. He says, well, go get in the harvest. I got another van driver for you. And if you keep getting in the harvest, you're going to have to buy a second van. You understand that just last week, I believe it was, I was here with the youth group and Brother Donald walked over and he said, the van is full and we still got students. We got no place to put them. That's what happens when you get into the harvest field. That's what happens when you invest into the harvest. Good problems begin to take place, but God is saying everything that you need. He said it when he was speaking, the tongues of interpretation. He said, your resources are in the harvest. You say, God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to build this building, Lord? God, how are we going to keep expanding into what you have for us in the future? He says, everything you need, even the resources, are in the harvest. I heard it said, Brother G.A. Mangan, who started the church in Alexandria, Louisiana, that now runs 2,500 to 3,000 people every Sunday. He started with just a small little church. When they end up building a church like this, now it's a massive auditorium, and they've got thousands of people that they reach. They are the church in that city. I promise you, they are. They are known. They are known in that city. And it all started when Brother Mangan, Brother G.A. Mangan, he said, Lord, he said, send me the ones that nobody else wants. And God told him this. He said, if you will pray for the ones that nobody else wants and nobody else will give time to, he said, I will give you the ones that everybody wants. That church lacks for nothing today. That church lacks for nothing when it comes to talent. It doesn't lack for anybody has time to do something for the kingdom. And it does not lack for treasure because God says everything you need is in the harvest. You just got to go out and get the harvest. Brother Ryan, do we have it? We have it? All right. I want to see today, just today, what you invested into the harvest today. Get ready to magnify the Lord. Woo! Woo! on, somebody magnify the Lord. Somebody magnify the Lord. That's what came in today. Come on, we're invested in the harvest. I wish somebody get a shout on this morning. Come on, if you've got a shout, somebody get a shout on this morning. Hallelujah, if you're excited about what God is doing.